Not only do we encourage you at Daleville Christian Church to know what it is that you believe, we want you to claim it. Claim it as a part of your life. Often they are promises from God's Word. This one, our affirmation of faith from Colossians, the first chapter. May we be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. The reading of God's words from 2 Corinthians in the 4th chapter, we'll look at just the 16th through the 18th verses finishing that chapter. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. It is Thanksgiving Sunday. The nation sets aside this coming Thursday as a national day of Thanksgiving. This calls immediately for a history lesson, right? No wonder I love this holiday, and it has Christian roots as well. As a pastor, I can't miss. Let's talk some history. But history's not easy to talk about. Why? Because it's human. We're not determined by instinct. The pilgrims did not come to America as part of an annual migration of Europeans. Native Americans, the Indians, did not respond to Europeans the same way in every place. So human beings are not always logical or reasonable or predictable. So historians try to make sense of history to explain what happened, when, and why. I teach local history to the elementary school third graders every year. Because we are American, we're obsessed with first place. When I was in school, yes, they had schools back then, I had classmates who would hang around the doorway so that when it was time to leave the room for an activity, they would be first in line. I never understood that, especially since I did not see any benefits to being at the front. But I used this obsession with being first as a way to teach history. I asked the third graders that when the first settlers had their homes and farms underway and settled, what two buildings did the settlers want to build first? They're usually very disappointed to discover that one of those first buildings was a school. But teaching history is difficult because you can't teach everything that happened. You have to pick and choose. One sociologist has made a second career of condemning high school history textbooks as being especially bad about stating historical truths. His book, now revised and republished, has been on bestseller lists, entitled Lies My Teacher Told Me, Everything Your American History Textbook Got Wrong, by James Lowen. I had a chance to hear the man lecture a couple of years ago. But in part, I blame this American obsession with first place. The third graders ask, what was the first automobile? What, in America? In our state? In our town? That would require three different answers. And as far as our town is concerned, I say, well, we don't know, which is not what they want to hear. But I add, it might be the Maxwell, an automobile that was manufactured nearby. And we have a photo of one in town. Looks like a 1908 or 1909 Roadster. But it could be a 1910 Q2. So as Americans, we want to know who had the first Thanksgiving. That's what all the pilgrim stuff is about, right? I invite you to explore the website of plymouth.org. Or try scholastic.com, and there you will find more than you ever wanted to know about the first Thanksgiving. But was it? Was it the first Thanksgiving? Was that place and time in Plymouth, Massachusetts, really the first Thanksgiving? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's mention, first of all, that just about everybody who sailed on the Atlantic Ocean to America in those days, that once they got back on dry land, kissed the ground and prayed to God, and they prayed prayers of thanksgiving. That's been true even in modern times, hasn't it? Especially some of those Caribbean cruise line trips. But that doesn't count, does it? Giving thanks just to be alive after sailing on the ocean isn't really a thanksgiving, is it? Thanksgiving, as we claim, Thanksgiving is also about a meal and getting people together. When did that happen? First, I mean. When did that first happen in America among our ancestors? Okay, that's a tougher question to answer. One thing is certain. Other Europeans, European Christians, had come to America before the pilgrims got here, and in some cases, long before the pilgrims got here. You remember this little history fact rhyme in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Columbus was on a business trip for the Spanish. Columbus knocked around the Caribbean, mostly. The Spanish finally get to America, what we call the United States, in Florida about 60 years later. But we'll come back to that. We already have additional English groups in line who lay claim to be first in having a Thanksgiving, and we are, most of us here today, English speaking. So the first English colony established in America was 1607 in Jamestown, Virginia, 13 years before Massachusetts. But they barely survived. Faith was a motivation for the leadership, but survival became the major occupation of those colonists, so there was no meal. But Virginia still claims to be first in Thanksgiving, 1 year and 17 days before those pilgrims ever set foot on American soil at Plymouth. A group of English settlers led by Captain John Woodleaf landed at what is now called Berkeley Plantation, or Berkeley Hundred, 24 miles southwest of Richmond, Virginia. After they arrived on the shores of James River, the settlers got on their knees and gave thanks to God, the God of the Bible, for their safe passage. There was no traditional meal, no dinner party with Native Americans, no turkey. Today, Graham Woodleaf, yes, he's a direct descendant and keeper of the Virginia tradition, says that America's first Thanksgiving was about prayer, not food. The king even said they should be and have an annual Thanksgiving prayer day. And it was for 3 years. Graham Woodleaf says the only reason people celebrate the Pilgrims' Thanksgiving is because the Pilgrims had better public relations. We'll come back to that as well. In the meantime, the Native Americans wiped out Berkeley Hundred after 3 years. But there is one more contender for number one in the Thanksgiving tradition. I mentioned Columbus and the Spanish. The Spanish finally get to Florida in America about 60 years before the Pilgrims. As was mentioned, their first act was to hold a religious service to thank God for the safe arrival of the Spanish fleet. And we know everyone did that, and still do that. It doesn't count as an American Thanksgiving. But this one author states that the chaplain of the Spanish ships and the first pastor of St. Augustine, one of the natives from the Timucua tribe, be fed along with the Spanish settlers. And that, they claim, was the very first Thanksgiving in America, the first Thanksgiving meal in the United States. So why do we, Americans, who always celebrate number one, why do we celebrate the guys who are in third or fourth place? Well, in short, at least in the hearts of the followers of Jesus, it has to do with faith in Jesus Christ. And I'll come back to that. By the way, want to know the foods the Spanish shared? It was food they had brought with them on the ship, nothing they had grown or found in America. Salted pork, which means preserved pork, garbanzo beans, the ship's bread, which was probably moldy, and maybe cabbage and red wine. One person claimed that they made stew with it. I don't know about you, but that doesn't make my mouth water like roast turkey does or pumpkin pie, which the Puritans knew as pumpkin porridge. So aren't you glad we celebrate with the pilgrims in Massachusetts? Also, the Catholic Church in Spain was powerful. If the church or the priest told you to go to church and give thanks, you did it, no matter how you felt about it. And those same Spanish, when they learned the French were trying to get started in Florida, the Spanish marched up the coast of Florida and murdered all the Protestant Frenchmen. By the way, this was all spelled out for you in a book published in 1965, The Cross in the Sand, which is still in print. One thing I want us to appreciate today is that individuals, historians, professionals, even entire towns want to be first. They want to claim the first Thanksgiving. Their websites shout it. Here is the real home of the first Thanksgiving. As a pastor, I can be glad of that for two reasons. First of all, it's good to want to be first to give thanks. Gratitude is essential to our mental health. Gratitude is essential to our spiritual health. The Apostle Paul encourages the congregations multiple times to give thanks. I could have chosen from any half dozen Bible verses for today's message. Perhaps his call to the believers in Thessalonica is even more fitting, since the Apostle Paul states, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." You remember the pilgrims' hard personal journeys just to get on to the Mayflower, to come here? And when they arrived before spring came, half of them had died from disease, and they had died in the only building they got built for a church, but had to be used as a hospital. But at the first harvest, they gave thanks to God. And although many of the historians I have read do not especially make the following claim, but all of their evidence points to thanksgivings by all groups to the Christian God, the Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether English Protestant, Anglican, or Separatist, Spanish Catholic, or French Huguenot, all gave thanks to the Lord God, Father of Jesus the Christ. That's another reason to be glad. They want to be first to be faithful in giving thanks. They want to be thankful, and they want to be first at it. They want to be thankful to God, and they want to be first at it. Where is the problem in that, my friends? Yes, I'm not naive. I realize that there are tourism industry dollars at stake. Big dollars, American dollars. If you can claim the first American Thanksgiving, but that isn't the point. What pastor wouldn't be proud to have his church people crying to be first to give thanks to God? Now, getting back to those more famous pilgrims in Massachusetts, some of the researchers like to split hairs, but then that's how they keep their jobs, isn't it? That's how you get grant money. Some like to claim that although the pilgrims had a feast with the natives, that it wasn't really a Thanksgiving meal because Thanksgiving services were worship services held in the church, and the meal they had was a harvest celebration. Fair enough. So what if it was technically a harvest festival celebration? But I think that those historians are making a distinction of faithful practice and non-faithful practice which never entered the minds or the prayers of the pilgrims. The pilgrims were religious people. All of life for those pilgrims was about God and pleasing God. A person was supposed to read their Bible, something they got kicked out of England for doing. And a person was supposed to pray their own prayers, which was very wrong in the eyes of the official church authorities and the King of England. The only way the pilgrims could see to live peaceful, faithful lives was to leave their homeland, leave their towns, leave their homes, and in some cases leave their families, risk their lives, and get on ships for America. Also, once they got here, they sought peace with the natives and kept it for 60 years. So maybe the pilgrims were not the first to pray on American shores, but they prayed their own prayers from the heart, not a prayer book. They grew their own food and thanked God for it. They got help from the natives, whom they saw as fellow creations of God. The pilgrims prayed in Jesus' name, so the pilgrims are first in our hearts. They will be remembered always on our national Thanksgiving holiday, as they should be. Now, I'm not telling you what to do. You may eat salt pork and garbanzo beans if you want. But my family and I will be eating turkey and pumpkin porridge, which we call pie. I leave you with one more historical fact. The pilgrims never, ever wore hats with buckles on them. No buckles on hats. They didn't even have belt buckles. They used leather laces. Buckles on hats came in fashion 50 years later. But those same pilgrims did have faith in their hearts for God through Jesus Christ. A happy and blessed Thanksgiving be yours. Amen.